declares that for us. Pastor has taught us it ain't how you start, it's how you finish. Amen? It's how you finish. It's how you finish. Hallelujah. I don't know exactly how to go where I'm headed, but I'm going this way first. You know what? Spirit of God's always desired and wanted to tabernacle among us. Y'all know what that means. He's always wanted to tabernacle among us. Amen? He's always wanted that. He wanted it in the garden. Pastor ministered to us Sunday about the gift of Jesus, you know, because we celebrate the Christmas as His birthday. He so loved us that He gave His Son. Amen? And He gave His Son, listen to me, He gave His Son because He wanted to get back where He was before Adam messed up. Right? He wanted to be able to walk with us intimately, moment by moment. Amen? So He said, we got to do something. Jesus said, I'll do it. So the Father who had the plan, originated the plan, He made the plan. He said, before the foundation of the world, I got a plan because I know what's going to happen in my foreknowledge. So Jesus executed that plan for us. Hallelujah. And then the Holy Spirit revealed that plan to us. Amen? Glory to God. But He's always wanted to tabernacle among us. And we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 6 in a minute. But I want to share something Pastor said last Wednesday because I wrote it down. Matter of fact, if you don't mind, I got a Facebook page. And I put it on my Facebook page again. Because He said it, and when He said it, I said, oh, Father, that's you up and down, that's you up and down. And I posted it, and tonight, when I was preparing things, I got ready to write down some stuff, and I wrote it down again. And listen, the pastor said this to us Wednesday. Just because it looks cloudy, the sun is still shining. Just because it might be cloudy in your life, in some arenas of your life, areas of your life, the sun's still shining. What does that mean to us? That means what God said about us is still there. Do you understand the sun is, when it's a cloudy day, the sun is still as bright as it started to be. The sun is still as warm or hot as it's always been. And the sun is always where it's always been because at 12 o'clock high noon, the sun is here. Tomorrow at 12 o'clock, it's going to be here, right? Just because it's cloudy, remember the sun's still shining. And how do we see that and how do we cause that into existence in our life? We appropriate it by faith. We say, well, God's Word says this about it. Well, I'm dealing with symptoms. Well, God's Word says He took my sicknesses and bore my diseases. Well, I don't feel like it. Look through the cloud and see the sun. There it is. It's yours. It's yours. It's mine. It's mine. Faith says, by the way, of course, one translation says, we're confident of what we hope for. Convinced of what we do not see. Well, it's cloudy, I don't see the sun. I'm convinced that sun's still shining. Well, I'm dealing with this in my body. I'm convinced He bore my sicknesses and my diseases. I'm convinced that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is giving life to my physical body right now. Right now. And we said this before here, and it's always helped me in my faith in my physical part of my body, my life. The Bible says without the human spirit, the body dies because God created us that way. When a spirit leaves a body, the body dies. Well, when we are born again and His Spirit dwells in us, we got the double charge in our bodies to give us life, right? That's why the Apostle Paul said that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. give life to your mortal body. Mortal means subject to die. You're going to die because of the fall of Adam. That's just going to happen. Amen. But he's promised us long life. Long life. And the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead right now is living in my body, giving life to it. Living in your body, giving life to it. Just got to latch on to it. Amen. You got to grab a hold of it. Now, I ain't going where my notes are, but I'm going to go where something else is. How many of you in here have the opportunity to sit in here and hear our sister on Sunday talking about the excellence of God, what God wants us to have? Rebecca's been teaching us that. Well, the week before last, she talked about the woman with the issue of blood. You remember that? She talked about the woman with the issue of blood. She went after it. And Rebecca's been talking to us about you need to go and do better than they do. Here's a fess up here. Ever since she said this about them buggies in Walmart, every time I get out the car now, I've been grabbing buggies and putting them in the, even if they're not mine, I've been doing that, you know. But she was teaching us along the lines of people who went after it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel, they went after it. Amen. They went after it. Amen. The woman with the issue of blood went after it. And I'm gonna say something here because I want to talk about the manifest presence of God, but I want to just read you something out of Mark, and you know the story. Let me read you from the Amplified Translation, Mark chapter 5. Okay. Let's go. Okay, here we go. 25 of Mark 5 Amplified. And there was a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and who had endured much suffering under the hands of many physicians, had spent all that she had and was no better, but instead grew worse. Verse 27. She had heard the reports concerning Jesus, and she came up behind him in the throng and touched his garment. Verse 28. Listen to this. Amplified, for she kept saying, if I can only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. And immediately her flow of blood was dried up at the source, and suddenly she felt in her body that she was healed of her distressing ailment. And Jesus, recognizing in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around immediately in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples kept saying to him, you see the crowd pressing hard around you and from all sides, and you ask, who touched me? He still kept looking around, verse 32, to see her who had done. But the woman, knowing what had been done for her, though alarmed and frightened and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said unto her, daughter, your faith have made you whole. Amen. Amen. I'm going to get to a point here. First of all, she kept saying it. She kept saying it. Huh? Okay, let's talk. Oh, brother, I just don't know. I don't know how I'm going to get it done. I don't know how I'm going to get this bill paid. Oh, I just don't know. I just don't know about that boy. Will he ever change? Oh, he just kept saying it. Oh, I haven't hurt so much. Oh, I hurt so much. I hurt so much. You just don't know how I hurt so much. Kept saying that. But she heard of Jesus. She heard that he was the healer. She heard that he was the healer. She said, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Did she not? And she did it. And she got it. She said, kept saying, if I can touch him, if I can touch him, if I can touch him, if I can touch him. Building her faith. Kind of like Abraham, it says in Romans, it says Abraham received strength as he kept giving glory to God. Kept saying it, kept saying it. I want to get to this point, though, because this affects us now here. Okay, when I got up a while ago, when I walked over here, I felt the anointing of God, the presence of God. Right? Okay, the presence of God. The collective presence of God. Sometimes I feel like a coat comes on me when I get ready to minister. I'm sure you do too if you minister. That don't make me no big body. But anyway, here's what I'm saying. I felt the presence of God. Now, the crowd, the multitude in Jesus' time, listen to where I'm going. You never hear this, but it's true. John 3:34 said Jesus Christ had the Spirit without measure. Inferring, of course, that we have it by measure, collectively. But Jesus had it without measure. So I'm going to present something to you. Never heard it taught till years ago when the Lord showed it to me and I began to teach. When you were in Jesus' presence, you could feel the anointing. That's why they were thronging Him. Did you hear what I just said? Man, do you feel this? Who is this guy? Who is this guy? Man. Are you with me? But one, with faith, Jesus told her it was her faith. One with faith. If I can touch you. She drew that anointing out of Him. She pulled it out of Him. Then there's another story. Peter's mother-in-law's house. Bible says that the presence of the Lord was there to heal them, doesn't it? Who got it? One, with the faith, the four others who lowered Him down through the tiles. Says the presence of the Lord was there to heal them, but it healed Him. The only one. What are you saying, Brother Tony? Here's what I'm saying. When you come into the collective anointing, you can use your faith to draw strength. You can use your faith to get joy. Pastor told us last week, in His presence is fullness of joy. Right? You can pull joy. You can pull peace. You can pull, like I said, physical strength. Listen, I know in this house, I have come here hurting physically and did it a lot for a period of time, particularly in my left leg. It wasn't up when I had the stuff done, the left leg. And I would come in here on Wednesday night hurting. But I would sit right where I'm about sitting now and I would say, when I get into that church and get in that presence and they start praising and worshiping God and I start praising and worshiping God, I'm going to get some strength down here. I'm going to get some comfort down here. I'm going to get some healing down here. Are you with me?
Yeah.
People think that God's going to zap them. But He's saying, come get it. Use your faith. Amen. Are y'all with me on that? Do you understand the fact that when Jesus was there, there was an aurora around Him? There was a presence. Because He had the Spirit without measure, folks. And people were thronging. But the people that person that got it that day was that woman that said, if I can only touch Him, I can get it. Huh? Amen. That'll help us. Listen, you can be, because I was in this way the day last week. I woke up hurting. Well, I went to bed hurting that one night. Cece remembers, I was just hurting. And I went to bed, went upstairs and went to bed. I was hurting. What did you do? I think I told my brother over here about it the following Sunday. I got my little phone. I put Dad Hagin's healing scriptures on. I stuck them under my ear. I went to sleep. It's an hour and 15 minutes. I went to sleep listening to them. Woke up. When I woke up, I was doing this Monday case instead of praying. Reached over there, cut it back on, put it back under my ear, played it again, began to praise God and worship God. But let me tell you what I did do to you. I used the authority been given to me, and I said, whatever's causing this pain, I command you to leave in Jesus' name. I command you to leave. You got authority to command that stuff to leave. I've told this story about Cece and me and Nathaniel when he was having those seizures, and that day, she grabbed him and picked him up and put him in her arm. He was a little totin' size, and she held him in her arm while he was seizuring. And she said, "Devil, let go of my baby." And bam, like the power of God, just knocked him out. And I heard the Lord, right? I heard the Lord because I was going to grab him. I heard the Lord say, "Today I will teach her authority." And that was what he was doing. Guess what, brothers and sisters? That ain't changed. That ain't changed. We got authority. You got authority. You got authority over sickness and disease in your body. You got authority over mental anguish in your body, in your mind. You have authority over it. You remember the prayer that the Spirit of God gave the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, the three parts of that prayer? It started off, he said, "I pray that you will have the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know the hope of your calling, the riches of the inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." Huh? He wanted, the Spirit of God wants you to know who dwells in you, the riches of the inheritance in the saints. He wants you to know the exceeding greatness of his power, because Jesus delegated that power or that authority to us. He gave it to us, gave us his name, but he gave us the authority to use the name against what we're dealing with. And I remember that night, I said, it just rose up in me. I said, I ain't got to have this. I ain't got to add this. And I got up and I felt good. I told somebody else, it might have been Brother Ken or somebody. I told somebody else, I said, "Man, I felt like a spring chicken the next morning." Good. But what I'm getting at, brothers and sisters, it's yours. It's yours. You got authority. Jesus has already did it for you. He's seated at the right hand. He's done his job. He gave it to us. Amen. He did. Are y'all with me? Amen. We got to get to where we was going, I guess, but we good. We going where we need to go, right? That's like Pastor Ben teaches, I go where I need to go. All right, here we are tonight. I'm going to get to talking about the manifest presence of God in a measure, which is the glory. We're going to talk about the glory. Brother Tony, why you want to talk about the glory? Because it's going to get stronger. Why are you going to talk about the glory, Tony? Because I've got a promise that when darkness covers the earth and gross darkness to people, that the glory of God be seen upon us. Amen? I got a promise that the glory of the latter house will supersede the former house. Huh? God wants, he is going to show his glory. He's going to show his glory in a way we've never seen it until now and to then. We've never seen it before. Amen. The manifest presence of God, the glory. What is the glory? Jesus, I quote it all the time, but Romans 6:4 said Jesus was raised by the glory of the Father. Paul wrote that in Romans 6. Then in Romans 8, Paul said by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. So in those two verses, we see that the glory is the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God. Amen? It's the Spirit of God. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 5. I want to do that. 2 Chronicles 5. I'm going to read that. 2 Chronicles 5. Y'all know what it's about, those that have studied. It's about when the glory came in the temple. When Solomon dedicated the temple, remember that? Amen. 2 Chronicles 5. 2 Chronicles 5, I'm in the Amplified Translation. I'm going to read you the first verse. Thus all the work that Solomon did for the house of the Lord was finished. He brought all the things that David his father had dedicated, and the silver and the gold and all the vessels, and he put it in the treasures of the house of God. All right, I'm going to skip down for time's sake. Let's look at verse 11. And when the priests had come out of the holy place, for all the priests present, and sanctified themselves, separating themselves from everything that defiled without regard to their divisions. That's something to chew on. You got to clean up things at times. Okay, verse 13. This is it. And when the trumpeters and the singers were joined in unison, making one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they had lifted up their voice with the trumpets, the cymbals, and all other instruments for song and praise the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy and loving kindness endureth forever." Then the house of the Lord was filled with the cloud, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house. Amen? Amen. The glory of the Lord filled the house. Now, this is something I just picked up lately, and I shared out here in the hall with Pastor and somebody one day after praying, but it's all true, and I'm going to try to connect it. David, you remember the story, David went and got the Philistines stole the ark. David went and got the ark. Remember that? He went the wrong way to start with, didn't you? The poles, and the dude touched it and fell dead. Remember that story? Then they got the poles and slid them like they should under the rings, and they toted it back. The Bible says that when they were coming back, you know, David danced before the Lord with all his might, with just the ephod on, right? He loved the Lord. No wonder, you know, no wonder what the word declares about David, but he was just worshiping God. And Micah's wife said he was not very dignified. He said, "I'm going to be less dignified. I'm going to keep worshiping him." And she became barren, right? Well, David got the ark, and he built the tabernacle of David. And they would go in there, and they'd just worship God, you know. But at the same time, brothers and sisters, a lot of people don't know this, but this is all true. The Mosaic tabernacle, the other one, was still functioning in all its duties. Both tabernacles were going on at the same time. And I'm going to get, just listen to what I'm saying. David understood worship. He understood God's forgiveness. You remember when he did what he did? Even when the prophet said, "You're going to lose your child." Remember what David said? "Maybe God will change his mind." Remember that? That's in the Word too. But anyway, David knew about worship. Read the book of Psalms. He knew about worship. He knew about getting in the presence of God and worshiping God. But he also knew this. You need this other stuff. Well, what did the other stuff represent to us? It represented to me and you, we can come and we can worship and praise God. Now stay with me. We can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain help and mercy in time of need. But also, we need to walk in the light of the Word of God that He's been given us. Are you with me? That's whole representation that God was saying, this stuff is real and needed. I want you to have this stuff, but you got to have this stuff too. Now here's where I'm going. When they built the temple of Solomon, he built the temple, the two came together. And that's when the glory came. Are you with me? That's when the glory will come. When you're walking in the truth of the Word of God, in obedience to God, and you know how to worship God, and you're not under condemnation, and we talk about free worship here, don't we? Free worshiping God. But when you're walking in the light of the truth and worshiping God like you know God loves you, He cares for you, He's merciful, that's when the glory comes. That's the Temple of Solomon. Now, I'm gonna show you a verse, a passage of Scripture that will go along with that for us. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I quote this a lot when I talk about the presence of God. And while I'm going there, let me just ask you this question. Don't you just know you need His presence? Don't you just know you need it today more than ever? Don't you know that we look around at the earth and the nations and all the other nations and the junk that's going on? It's like we run to the presence of God. I know I do. I know I get up every day, and like I've said the last time I ministered here, my song grandma used to sing to us, "Because He lives, I can face tomorrow." That is more prevalent in my life today than it's ever been. Because it's crazy out there, folks. And you know, the Word's already, God's already seen it in His foreknowledge. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. Evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse. At the end of days, all the nations, including ours, are going to turn away from Israel. We're seeing that happening. Everything's going to, like Brother Yandy has been teaching, everything's going to what Mr. Biden called a liberal world order. Well, that's the new world order. That's the rule of the Antichrist. That's what's going on. When he said that, that shook, like Brother Yandy said, that shook the media. But we're there. They're pushing that. He's already talking about a digital monetary system. They're pushing that. You know, they're just pushing all this stuff. But we look up for our redemption draweth nigh, don't we? Okay, you in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Okay, here we go. Let's go with verse 14. Okay, it says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Do not make mistake alliances with them or come under a different yoke with them, inconsistent with your faith. For what partnership is right living and right standing with God with iniquity and lawlessness? Or how can light have fellowship with darkness? And it goes on down. What harmony can there be between Christ and Baal or the devil? And what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? You know, that's for us. We don't need to make alliances with the world. Come on now. We don't need to be doing it. Next verse. What agreement can there be between a temple of God and idols? Here you go. For we are the temple of the living God. Even as God said, I will dwell in them, with and among them, and I will walk in and with and among them. Now that says a lot. I'm going to go back and read some of that again. Listen, even God, I will dwell in them. He lives in us, doesn't he? But he also says, I will be among them. That's the corporate anointing going on. And we'll walk in them. That's him. That's him totally controlling us. You ever had God have you do things that it was just God? I had that happen this past week on the day before Christmas Eve about a person that lived near to me praying for him, and I knew he was getting ready to pass. Well, he died. He died the next day. But sometimes God just takes over, and you just know it, and you just have the burden and the utterance to pray. Okay, we'll walk in them and with and among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So look at verse 17. So come out from among the unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Then I will receive you kindly and treat you with favor, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, a lot of times people stop there, but look at the very next verse of the next chapter. Therefore, since these great promises, what promises? I'm going to come, I'm going to be in you, walk with you, be among you. I want to do that. Therefore, since these great promises of ours, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that contaminates and defiles body and spirit, and bring our consecration to completeness. How? In the reverent fear of God. Okay, here we go. Oh, here we are, Tabernacle David. Oh, Father, I love you. Thank you, Lord. You dance before the Lord. And over here, walk in love. Do unto those you'd have them do unto you. Huh? Don't go to bed with wrath on you. All this stuff in the other temple. All the Word of God, in other words, the light of the Word of God over here. I want to bring that, and I want to bring this intimacy that I desire to, and that I want you to love my presence. I want to bring all that together. So when I bring that together, the glory will fall. Are you with me? The glory will fall. That's right. You know, Brother Yandian taught us this in 82, 83 at Bible school, out of the book of Ephesians. He said you have positional truth and you have temporal truth. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are an heir and a joint heir. You have a positional place in the kingdom of God. But there are temporal truths. The temporal truths is to tell you how you're to walk here and show Jesus Christ in your lifestyle. Your lifestyle consists of your doings, your walking, your talking, where you sit, listen, where you sit, what you listen to, how you talk. That temple and this temple makes that temple where you see the glory. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, that's just the facts. And that's what God's doing. He's endeavoring to pull us. And we've got it here. Listen to me now. Listen to me. This ain't the law. This is New Testament. This is written to me. This is the Holy Spirit telling me, Tony, you know, I want to be your God. I want you to be my temple, and I want to live and dwell in you, and I want to walk among you and come upon you. So knowing that, son, cleanse yourself of all this stuff. Cleanse yourself. You know, and I just got it. I got it, Lord. I just got it. Brian was playing one of Brother Hagin's videos in the great room the other night. And right before he died, I kind of watched how he ministered. He ministered a lot about walking in love. But I'm going to tell you what else he ministered on. He ministered a whole lot on the church becoming consecrated once again. Consecrated unto God. He said full gospel charismatics have lost their reverence of the presence of God. He said when a tongue and interpretation is given in a lot of charismatic churches, they just carry on and carry on. He said back in the old days, we reverence that. Amen. You know, the word does say not to grieve, vex, or sadden the Holy Spirit. Huh? Not grieve, vex, or sadden the Holy Spirit. He's pulling us. I said it one other time up here. I've seen it. He's doing this to us. He's wanting us to get into secret place with Him. Why? All the blessings of Psalms 91 are those who live in the secret place. I think we forget that, Pastor. People just quote that and, well, you know, he said he would do so and so and so and so. Are you in the secret place with Him? Are you moving in an intimacy with Him daily? Do you understand the more you give of yourself to Him, the more of His presence He can give to you? Huh? The more He can do in the natural for you, the more you give yourself to Him. He wants to bless you in every aspect of your life. But He wants you. He wants all of you. He does. He wants to show His presence in a strong way. He does. You know, the Word declares that you and I, individually, and He said it here, but in another place to the church at Corinth, He said, don't you know that you individually and you collectively are the temple of God? Doesn't it say that? It says that, doesn't it? Okay, and we've said this before, but it fits again. Then Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, he said this. He said that Christ may dwell, there you go, tabernacle, dwell in your hearts by faith. My mentor said this, the word dwell means tabernacle, but be at home tabernacling. Is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, at home in you? Are you letting Him in you? Or are you just going, no, I'm good. I'll pick you up, Lord. I'll pick you up Sunday morning. I'm good. Huh? Listen to me. He wants us to cultivate an atmosphere of His glory. He wants us to form, F-A-R-M, a spiritual house. That he can indwell. He wants to show up big in here. He does. You have a lot to do. I was over here praying a while ago, and the time I got left, I can tap in there. I was over here praying a while ago, and I have none of this in my notes, but I was over here praying a while ago, and the Lord said, you know, there's a song that says, speak to the atmosphere. And I don't know nothing about the song, but I opened my phone, and there's a guy got a song called Speaking to the Atmosphere. Now listen to me. You ever went to, I used to go to Dillon. I grew up in Dillon, played for Dillon. The Dillon Wildcats in 1969 won the state tournament with Casey Manning, the first black to ever play for University of South Carolina. I watched Casey play. Listen to where I'm going. That gym, there was an atmosphere in that gym. I'm talking about the natural. There was an atmosphere in there. Man, you could feel the charge. You could feel the charge. We got this thing. We got it. Casey, David, Paul Bethay, Dewey Hardy, who won it with the free throw at the state. I was at that game. Anyway, getting to my point. In the natural, there's an atmosphere cultivated. You go to a demon den, because I was there in the world. You can sense demons in a demon den, a bar, a club. They're there. Huh? Well, listen to me. In the house of God, you and I all have a measure of the Spirit of God. Jesus has it without measure. You have it by a measure. You are obligated to release that measure in the collective presence of the brothers and sisters in Christ. Huh? You can speak to the atmosphere in your worship and your praise. You can speak to the atmosphere when you're alone. You can just talk to the Father and God to feed you. I went to Brother Paul's wife a while ago, and I said, because sometimes in prayer she'll sing in the Spirit. And I sing in the Spirit too, and I told her, I said, doesn't the atmosphere change when folks are singing in the Holy Ghost? That it's different. It's the anointing gets stronger. It gets different. Over at the church we went to, and I'm going to bring that up. I asked my wife something. The church, Maranatha Uptown, when we first started, there was many a nights that we would go, Shandri kula la de se de la 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 la. Just singing out of our spirit unto God. And there's just something about singing in the Spirit. It releases more of what Paul told the church. He said, in this earthen vessel, you have glory. I can show you that verse. I ain't got time tonight, but I wrote it down. You have God's glory in you. You release that glory. See, you can change the atmosphere. Hallelujah. You can charge the atmosphere with the presence of God. When the praise team gets up here, they're like, and I've said it before, you got the Levites taking the Ark of the Covenant on the march. Then you got the tribe of Judah back there praising and worshiping God, looking at the Ark, remembering the power that God possesses. Amen. The whole purpose of our praise and our worship is to usher in the presence and the anointing of God so people can get ministered to. So the man or woman of God, whoever it is that speak the Word of God, they can speak it with a more anointing, glory to God. But you can change the atmosphere. And God's calling us to form a house that He can indwell. He's calling us to form a habitation of His glory. I know that's a fact. He's desiring that from us. Why? Because He wants us to experience times of refreshing in the presence of God, so we can go out here and let that light shine brighter and brighter. Amen. That's why we're not to forsake the assembly together even the more as we see the day approaching. Amen. Are you with me on that? Now, I'm going to take it to something I asked Sissy when we got home this afternoon. We went and looked at a car, but not going to miss a car. Anyway, we come home and she was in the kitchen and I was walking around pondering because Pastor had called me, Lord, what are we going to talk about? And all this stuff started coming up. And the Lord reminded me, and I asked Sissy, I said, you remember the Sunday before Thanksgiving 1980 when David Tyner and Wesley Till opened the doors to the church uptown in the old Keys Furniture Building and that wind blowed and hit us? And she said, yes. See, that was the glory, brothers and sisters. What was going on, Brother Tony? Guess what they were doing? Praying in tongues, singing in tongues, with their arms up, worshiping God. You remember those times? And they were just worshiping God. And here I was, old Church of God boy, and I'm going, my God. And Cece said, I think she said, well, what was that? And I said, that's the Holy Ghost. I know him. And I was a backslider. I said, I know him. Amen. And from that day on, our life turned around. Amen. But what I'm trying to say tonight, and getting ready to close, is that you can help form, F-A-R-M, an anointing of His presence here. And when you sense that presence here, with your hand of faith, you grab, as she grabbed the hem of that garment, you grab a hold of, Father, I've been standing against this. Now I'm grabbing it tonight. I'm getting an impartation of that anointing and going to receive from that anointing tonight. Amen. Amen. That's just the truth. And in closing, I think I did it. I already done it. Okay, yeah, here it is. We taught in one other time before, and it'll fit. Well, Brother Tony, how do I help stimulate, activate, cultivate, form that anointing? I told you this teaching some time back because I heard the Lord very clearly. He said, son, I'm going to give you three words. And he said, I'm going to give you three words that start with the letter F. He said, fresh, fervent, and full. You get in the presence of God, Psalms 92, the psalmist said, you have anointed my head with fresh oil. You need a fresh anointing. Romans 12 says, be fervent, aglow, on fire in the Spirit. Ephesians, be filled with the Spirit. No, the Greek says, be being full of the Spirit. You can form a spiritual house in your individual part by maintaining a fresh anointing, being fervent in spirit, and staying full of the Spirit of God. You can do that. He'll help you get there. And all it's going to do is help us all. See, every joint supplies. I need your anointing. I need what you got. We need one another. Amen. Amen. So, amen, let's just understand it. I'll say it again. When you sense His presence, or even when you come in here, expect to grab what you need. Grab what you need. Well, Lord, I'm dealing with this. Lord, oh, my sugar's up. Lord, they say my blood pressure's up. Oh, I'm hurting here. Oh. Grab it. It's yours. Use your authority and speak against the symptoms to start with, and then grab a hold of glory. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much. Thank you so much for this day, this opportunity, this time, Father, this very night, Father. Father, thank you so much that the sun ain't went nowhere. It's still shining. And the sun of righteousness is coming with healing in his wings, Father. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We just push away the clouds and we see the sun and we receive what we need. We thank you so much for that, Father. We give you praise for it, Father. And help us all in this room to be a doer of this word. And help us guard and keep it and not lose it, Father God. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. And Father, I just...